Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to be here. I don't know about you, but I could have kept on singing. I think I would have enjoyed that for myself a little better than coming up here. I enjoy sharing God's word. I wrestled this afternoon quite a bit with what God wanted me to share on. Sometimes the burdens of life, when you pray for situations and you pray for people to come to the Lord, and they're just, they make wrong choices in life, and it just, sometimes that hurts. And I know if you're a Christian, you're praying for anybody specifically in your life, in your family, you know what that feels like. And it's hard to put into words, but I know that God hears, I know He cares, and He's not willing that one soul perishes in this world. Not one soul. Each soul that is born on the face of this earth is precious in His sight. I don't care if he's a poor child in the bushes of Africa that has hardly any food. God looks down and He cares. Wants that soul to be reconciled back to Himself. I thought about pondering just a bit on our lives. Before I was a Christian, I wrestled, not realizing that there was a way of escape, not realizing that it's possible for a person to know where his eternal destiny is. And in those times, I remember being up in my room, and I would think, oh, if I just be a child, that's not accountable anymore. I had so much sin in my life. I had such a mountain of darkness in my life, and I longed to be like a little child that is not accountable. Then I wanted to die so that I can stand before a holy God and be with Him forever. But that wasn't the case. I was a real living human being accountable before the holy God of heaven, and my sins were before me. I didn't know what to do about it. So I thought about that tonight. Remember, those of you who are Christians, you remember those times. You remember those times of darkness in your life prior to being a Christian. And you also know that time in your life when new life came into your soul. And the old life went away, and the burden of sin went away, and now you have freedom. Now you can have eternal life. But tonight, maybe you're in here, and you're still at that place where you need to remember those times when you wish you could be innocent, but you're not. You're accountable before God. So I really didn't know exactly which way to go this evening. I pondered what to share, but my burden, I had a heavy burden a lot of the afternoon, and I was just seeking the Lord, and I prayed, and my heart tonight is that each one in this room, we've been walking together for quite some time as a church. As was shared today, there's an end picture in mind, and that we all make it. That we all make it. I'd like to talk just a little bit tonight. I'm not exactly sure how it'll all come out, but about drifting, the danger of drifting spiritually. We're not going to get very practical tonight. We're going to talk about our hearts, the danger of drifting. I had a quote that I read this afternoon. This is not my words. I found this, and it really caught my attention. The Lord is gracious to allow us the freedom to make choices in life. However, He does not let us choose the consequences for those choices. If our drifting is picked up on the enemy's radar, it is only a matter of time until we are awakened by the missiles of reality. By then, it may be too late. So remember, in your Christian life, I've said this before, there are two powerful forces that are watching you. And I like to think of the Christian, the enemy is watching. The Bible says he goes about We know that verse well. He goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And then when he gets that soul's attention away from the eternal God of heaven and the path that that God of heaven has for the eternal believer, and you start drifting away from that first love that you once had for Jesus Christ, and you start focusing your life on earthly things, the enemy is very, very aware of that. And he will take action. And he has a lot of tools in his toolbox to rope you in. To rope you in. He'll make you think this is fun. He'll blind you to the eternal consequences of that path. And the only thing that you will be able to focus on is right now. And you'll be thinking about how much fun I'm having, because the devil will blind your eyes. But in that, I also like to think that God, the God of heaven, will not give up. He doesn't give up, because there are people that pray. If you have Christian friends and family that are praying for you, you're going to have a really hard time to get away from him, to get away from God. So remember, in your drifting, once you start drifting away from the Spirit of God, from the life that God has planned for you, there's a radar, and that radar is moving, the enemy's radar, and you'll fall in that blip, and he'll get that attention, and he'll attack you with his tools. Another quote I found: drifting in our society is labeled diplomacy or change, but history always defines it as catastrophic. The effects of drifting often have an outcome that is quite the opposite of what we expect. Quite the opposite of what we expect. My heart tonight is that we just all make it in this life. And in order to do that, we need to have a vital connection with the Lord Jesus. And I had an illustration. I'm not sure if I shared this with you all before or not, but I had this illustration come to me a number of years ago, and I thought of it. And I titled that illustration, "The Net Versus the Sleeping Pill." And when you go out to trap animals, we usually, as humans, we make a quick trap where it slaps shut and it catches the animal. But the enemy often doesn't really do that. He doesn't necessarily. Sometimes, if we put our guards down, there's an immediate attack and we're caught. But a lot of times, he likes to give that sleeping pill. Because it's awfully hard to catch a lion out in the wild with a net. So they'll rarely just tackle them. I don't know of anybody that would do that. But what they do is they take these dart guns, and they'll shoot a dart in these lions, and these lions will eventually fall asleep. And you can walk right up to them, tie them up, put them in the back of your truck, and do whatever you want with them. And that's a lot how the enemy works a lot of times. He likes to put you to sleep. He likes to get you distracted from loving Jesus with all your heart. Don't get too radical. That's for somebody else. People will think you're weird. We read a scripture the other morning in Peter. It says they'll think it's strange when you don't run with them in the same excess of rioting. And I told my children that generally they're not going to think you're strange if you say, "I don't drink beer." They'll generally tell you that's kind of nice. Keep doing that. And if you say, "I don't smoke cigarettes," they're generally going to say, "Don't do that. That's bad. That's good if you don't." "I don't do drugs." They're not going to say, "Well, you're weird for not doing drugs." That's good. When they're going to really think you're strange when you don't do the things that, I hate to say it, that Western culture or Western Christianity thinks is acceptable. We don't have to get practical with that. But you can understand exactly what I mean by that. The world's going to think you're strange when you, "Well, I don't listen to that stuff. Oh, I don't have a social media account." You're strange. "No, we don't watch TV in our home." You're weird. That kind of world will think you're strange when you do those things and you have convictions against them. For a scripture tonight, Hebrews chapter 2 is what I'd like to just read a few verses there. Hebrews chapter 2, I'll read verses 1 and 3. Very familiar scriptures. It says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" The word "therefore" is probably pointing back to chapter 1 as it talks about Jesus Christ, the superiority of Jesus Christ being having the ultimate authority. And it gives some powerful truths in chapter 1 of Hebrews that is why the things that we need to give a more earnest heed to. God spoke to us through his word and is calling us to give a real more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Tonight I'd like to think about you have a child and you're sending your child out to, sometimes I've done this, my boys, we bought a wood chopper a while back and I give them a chainsaw and we got the wood chopper out there in the woods and we say, "No, listen to me, this is very, very dangerous. One wrong move of this chainsaw and you'll cut your arm off. If you get your finger in front of the wood chopper, you're going to lose a finger or an arm or a hand." So I want the children, when I give them that assignment, I want them to listen very closely to what I'm saying. Because if you don't, you might get hurt. So please pay attention, my child. Don't mess up. You can do this if you're careful. So God's word is telling us, pay attention to the things that you hear in life, to the times that God speaks to your heart, listen. To the times when God says, "Don't do that. I want you to do this," listen. Because if you don't, you could get hurt. I have a story that I read. I thought I was trying to find it on paper because I can read it and it'll make a lot more sense than if I could say it by memory. But I'm going to briefly say this story. There was a grandpa that had his children, his grandchildren, came to his house and they lived up close to the Niagara River. And he had a little boat, a little John boat with a small outboard motor that he put on the back of this boat. And he put his grandchildren in the boat and they were going to go out to the Niagara River fishing. And they went out a little ways and grandpa said, "This is beautiful, peaceful. Let's turn the motors off." So they turned the motors off, and you guys all know where this story is going. But for the sake of an illustration, Grandpa turned the motor off, and they were fishing, and they were having a snack. They were having a picnic. And all of a sudden, Grandpa realized they were drifting very fast. And Grandpa turned around, and he saw that danger sign that's posted along the side of the Niagara River. Danger. Rip current. And he turned on the motor just as he passed the sign that said danger, point of no return. So he headed the boat back out of the river and he, full throttle, fighting against that current, they were still moving toward the falls. There's holes in this illustration. But for the sake of an illustration, a lot of times in life, we don't turn our spiritual motors back on until it's a little too late. And there's casualties or there's heartache in our life. But anyway, Grandpa and the children went over the falls to destruction. And the holes in that story are this. The moment that you realize that you're drifting really far in your Christian life and you really want to turn away and you turn your motor back on and you get on your face before God, there isn't no current in this world that'll pull you away. You can come back to Jesus Christ. And he'll snatch you up and he'll save you and set you back on a rock, on a path. But don't wait till it's too late. Sometimes it is too late. There's another story that came to me this afternoon of a little girl I'm sorry, I don't have a very themed message this evening. I have a heart, in my heart, I'm just going to share my heart. This young girl, she was a wicked young lady. Don't want to use those graphic terms too loosely, but she lived a very wicked life. She was invited to a gospel meeting, a week of meetings, and she went night after night. And every night that she went there, she faced this conviction that the Lord was calling her to attention. And she would shake it off and go home. The last night of the meeting, it was heavy. The Spirit of God was touching her heart and convicting her, but she wanted her sin. So after the meeting was over, or during the middle of the meeting, I'm not exactly sure, she went outside and she looked up to heaven and she said words that I have a hard time even repeating, but she said, "God, if you let me alone, I'll let you alone." And bam, everything went away. Conviction left. Very shortly after that, she got sick. And on her deathbed, they asked the pastor to come in and say, "Could you please?" And I like to think there's life, there's hope, right up to the end. But this is her story. It's a true story. It's not a fake. It's not a fiction story. The pastor was pleading with her, "Come to Christ. You can do it. It's possible. Jesus died for you." She had zero emotions. She said, "Pastor, you have no idea." And she told the pastor this story. She said, "Guess what? I kept my part of the deal and God kept his. I have no conviction." And she died. Went into God is faithful in his judge. He's righteous in his judgment. He gave her an opportunity. But she waited a little too long to turn her motors, but her spiritual motor on. So tonight, we don't have to do that. I know we're facing things here. And I know in the midst of this struggle, it can be hard. It can be really hard to stay focused and to express the joy of the Lord. But for your personal lives, it's possible. There's a rest for the people of God. There's a cleft in that rock for each one of us to stay there, to rest there, and to be faithful in our spiritual lives. So that was a great salvation that it talked about in verse 3. We don't have to expound. We all know what those words mean. Because in verse 2 it says, "Every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward." And I can't explain that too well, but my simple mind says that everything that you do wrong needs to be dealt with. We can't slide it under the rug and say, "God understands. You sin, it needs to be dealt with." When we do wrong, it says it here, every disobedience and transgression received a just recompense, a reward. But God is faithful. He forgives when we repent and turn to him. But that great salvation, it says, how are we going to escape if we neglect that? You can't. But it's great. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I had a few other thoughts that I'm not exactly sure what I ought to share. I condensed it quite a bit. Another thought I have is that you don't grow by accident. That was another thought I had that I wanted to share. Here it is. In verse 3, the cause for drift, I think, is neglecting or not taking an earnest heed, as it says in verse 1, that we don't take an earnest heed to the things which we hear. For example, tonight, if there's something in your life, if there's a secret that dad and mom don't know about, there's a secret that nobody knows about, and you neglect that, you're drifting. You can hide it from anybody you want to, but you will head towards the falls of judgment. It's a promise. Don't deceive yourself. Don't hide it. Because I like to think of the scripture that said, at God's right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. Almost everybody that stands up here and shares their testimony, they say, the Christian life looked boring. But when I repented of my sins and I became a Christian, it was beautiful. Because the joy of knowing that my sins are gone, I no longer have to look over my shoulder and wonder who's watching me, or if they saw me, or what do they think of me. You're free. I'm free. My sins are gone. I don't have a burden anymore. That's the beauty, and that's the pleasures that are at God's right hand forevermore. And you get to fellowship with God's people. So the cause for drifting is neglecting or not taking heed. Usually drifting is unintentional. If you've ever steered a boat, you know that you don't deliberately keep it on. If you don't deliberately keep it on course, you will drift with the currents. I'm terrible at driving a boat. I get panicky, so I hardly ever shut the motor off if we take a boat pontoon out on the water. I panic. We shut that thing off and you're kind of doing this number. No. I need to know where I'm going. I need to know when I get this thing back to land. I don't like deep water, so that's that. But if you're out in the middle of the ocean or on a lake, you're fishing and you shut the motor off, and you know what it's like. Before you know it, whoa, where am I at? And there's many people that have drifted out to sea and they forgot where they were. They didn't realize where they were at and it was too late. So you got to be intentional with your Christian life. Otherwise, if you just sit down and let the world happen, you're going to drift. And one thing you never do is you never drift upstream or against the tide. You're always going to go with the wind. You're always going to go with the culture of the world. The way the world's going, the way the devil and his massive scheme of drawing people to himself is going, you're always going to go that way, and whatever that looks like. So if you don't take heed, if you don't listen to what the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart, that's where you're going to drift to. And I don't know why people don't learn from examples, but it happens. People think, I can do this and it's not going to hurt me. I can touch this fire and it's not going to burn me. I don't understand that, but it's true. It happens because the God of this world blinds your eyes to the outcome or the consequences of your life. So please don't kid yourself tonight. It's not worth it. Most of us in here have lived not too nice of a life, and we've all experienced heartaches and things that weren't so pleasant. But we can all tell you the pathway to destruction is, there's not a centimeter on that path that's worth it. Not a centimeter of it. Every speck of that path is meant to kill you. So don't waste time on the road to destruction. Let God do a work in your life. And if you got a secret, you can tell somebody. And listen, I was blinded by this. I'm too bad. Nobody did the things that I did. Or it's a shame, too shameful. I can't say that. I faced those things in my early life. But then when I realized, I started confessing my sins, I'm just normal. I didn't realize that. That's another blind spot that Satan wants to bring to you. You're not normal. You do things that nobody else does. So we're human beings. If you have a secret in your life, tell somebody. Tell somebody. There's power in testimony. The Bible says you overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony. So I'm sorry if I sounded jumbled. I hope I made sense. And may God bless you. I look forward to singing our second half here. So God bless you.